Amen. So let's read here. We're in John chapter number 11. I just really want to read two verses to you, and then we'll just talk about them for a little bit, and then we'll let you go. But here in John 11, beginning with verse number 21 there, said, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But now I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Amen. Whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give it thee. I want to talk to you this morning about the even now. Even now. Man, when we think about, of course, we're all familiar with this story of Lazarus and the great miracle that took place there with Lazarus. Of course, when we think of Lazarus, what immediately comes to mind, if we're familiar with Scripture at all, is the fact that he was dead. And he was risen from the dead by the words of Jesus Christ, demonstrating his power even over death, something that seemed so final and so complete and so much the end that Jesus is going to speak the word here. But we don't start there. We don't start with that great miracle. And Jesus, we know that there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. We know there's nothing too hard for God, that God can answer prayer, God can do anything. I think it was, the question was asked, is anything, Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for thee. And even there, is anything too hard for God? It's really one of those rhetorical questions. Of course, the answer to that is nothing. Nothing is too hard for God. And so, how many believe that today? Amen. We all believe that. We believe that when you think about God, just the fact that he's God. Deb was talking about earlier about the fact that he hears our prayer. He hears our cry. And it's interesting how that the scripture, when talking about our God and lays beside it those gods that were made of wood and of stone, and our God talks about our God being able to hear. It says those gods of wood and of stone, says they've got eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. It even really goes so far as to say they have a nose and they cannot smell. And so that would lead us to believe that our God is different than that. I mean, that our God is one that has eyes and he sees. He has ears and he hears. He has a nose and he smells. Well, what comes to mind there? That sounds kind of a strange analogy there, or a strange comparison to make that of a nose. But the whole point is this, that our God is a present God. That we are not serving a God that's far off, but he's a God that hears our cry. He's a God that sees us. And of course, when we think about the nose, what immediately comes to my mind is that when the sacrifice was given there in the Old Testament scripture, and it talks about that sweet-smelling savor that comes up before God, and that's our praise. When we send it up to God, that he smells, amen? And so that's the God that we're serving. And we know that God can do anything. Amen. Say that with me this morning. God can do anything. Amen. God can do anything. You say, well, I believe that. But you know what? It's a hard move from God saying that God can and moving into saying God will. Amen. How many's with me this morning? Have you ever been there? I know that God can, and I'll testify that to anybody. But sometimes I'm a little hard of saying that God will do something. Amen. Why? Because really, we don't know the mind of God. I know God can heal. I know he can. I've seen it. I've experienced it in my own life that God heals. When I've seen the obedience to the word of God, when the scripture talks about if any man be sick or any woman is sick, let him come and call on the elders of the church, and the elders of the church would lay hands on them, and the prayer of faith would heal them. Save them, the Bible says. Well, I believe that to be true. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen God save. I know that God can take someone that's caught in all kinds of ungodliness, that's caught in sin, that's so far gone that everyone else would say they're a hopeless case. And I've seen God step in and make a change in that individual. Amen. Anybody else seen that this morning? Amen. So we know he can. But so often we struggle with the will he. Amen. Will he? Well, our story this morning is that of a story of faith. You know, when we think about faith, Hebrews tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, the Bible says, must believe that he is. Amen. So we've got that settled this morning. We believe that God is. But see, Hebrews doesn't stop there, does it? It goes on from there and it says, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there we've gone from the he is and he's able to the fact that he will. Amen. So we know this, that God is, God honors faith. But not only that, it says, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently, oh, there's that word. Amen. That word diligent. I mean, that puts a kind of a little pause on all of us, because we ask ourselves the question, God, am I diligently seeking you? Amen. Am I diligently seeking you? Am I diligently hungering for you? Lord, am I hungering and thirsting for your righteousness? God, am I hungering and thirsting for your presence? And he says that he must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we've come to this story here in John chapter number 11. And if we've studied the Bible at all, we're introduced here. Strangely, you know, we know Lazarus, we know Mary, and we know Martha. We've known them for some time. Don't know when we first met them, but we know them, right? We know that they're brothers and sisters. Most of us know that Lazarus and Mary and Martha are family. And so we've met them years ago in our walk with God. And so here in John chapter 11 is actually the first time in John's gospel that we're introduced to this great family. But it doesn't seem like it's the first time that Jesus has come in contact with them. As a matter of fact, it seems like they're really good friends. There's some that would say, there's some scholars that even believe that some way they may have been kin to Christ according to the flesh, of course. But yet, you know, we're not sure about that. But we do know that they're friends of Jesus. And so when here we find this thing that has taken place, that Martha, her brother Lazarus, is sick. And so she sends word to Jesus. And just simply, here's all the words she says. Lazarus is sick. He that thou lovest is sick. That's the word. So there was no doubt in Martha's mind that Jesus loved them. There was no doubt in her mind that Jesus loved Lazarus. There was no doubt in her mind that Jesus loved Mary and that Jesus loved Martha. And so when Lazarus was sick, Martha sent word and just simply said, sent to us, unto Jesus. Now, verse 1 of chapter 11 says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And then there's a parenthetical here, and it's the fact that it identifies who this Mary is. It says, and it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And of course, Jesus' response is exactly what you would want to hear if your brother or someone close to you was dead or dying or sick. That he said this sickness isn't unto death. All right. Now, if you know Jesus, like we know Jesus, and if you receive a word from the Lord and you're sick or someone close to you is sick and Jesus tells you it's not unto death, well, you're going to rejoice, aren't you? You know, all right. Thank God I can rest in this. Amen. I tell you what, if there was times in my life when I come into certain situations and I knew the end from the beginning, how many knows I could go through it a whole lot easier? Amen, but I don't. Amen. Now, you guys know, I've told you enough to know, I don't love to fly. I do it. But I when I get on a plane, I pray, God, you know, if you would just let me know that this thing's going to land safely, I'll just sit back and relax. I'll just enjoy the flight. Just like they tell you, they come on there, bing, please put your seat backs up. You know, we're getting ready to take off. Enjoy your flight. And I'm always sitting there like, right. I think part of it is, you know, I know mechanical devices fail. Cliff can know this, you know, those machinists that make those parts. I've met a lot of them. And I've seen them on bad days. And I've seen them break taps off into holes. And I've seen them say, well, that's close enough. I've seen that. Now, I hope the plane goes through a lot more, you know, inspection than what, you know, some other things do. But the fact is, if God would just let me know that I'm going to land, I'd probably take a nap. But he doesn't do that, or he hasn't yet. And I'll invite him to do it next time I'm getting ready to board a plane. But the fact is that Jesus has given word to the family that this is not unto death. And so, you know, I don't know this messenger that was sent to Jesus It was just a simple message. It was just simply, he that thou lovest is sick. Martha and Mary, no doubt, expecting Jesus to really drop all that he was doing and come to their aid immediately. But there's a lot of things at work here that maybe on the surface we can't see. But just backing up to chapter number 10 there, we're made aware of the fact that Jesus has not been long left the region of Jerusalem. And part of the reason that he left that area is because verse number 39, this is after Jesus is talking about the works that he did. He said, if you don't believe me for the very work's sake. And there were those standing around that when Jesus was saying these words that were offended by these words and really sought to take Jesus. Verse 39 of chapter 10 says, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan and to the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. So Jesus has just left the region of Jerusalem, and he's gone into a place where it says here where John baptized. Now, if you've got a Bible map, don't use it right now, but you can take some time on your own. And there is a region there called Bethabara. There's another, I guess when John first comes on the scene, it tells us where he is baptizing. And so if this is indeed where Jesus went, it's at least a day's journey back to where Mary and Martha are and Lazarus is as well. But if we work out the time, you know, when Jesus finally does appear there and come to Mary and Martha, it's been about 4 days. And so if it's a 1 day journey to get Jesus the message, and then it's another day journey back, and by the time he gets there, he's going to have been dead for 4 days. There really wasn't a lot of time for Jesus to respond and to get there before Lazarus was dead. It's even possible that Lazarus had died even before the message was received of Jesus. And so for Jesus to say these words, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, if this was real time, it's very possible that when these words come out of Christ's mouth, that Lazarus had already died. But Jesus doesn't immediately just go. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that he tarried for 2 days. And then when Jesus finally tells his disciples, says here, now Jesus loved Martha, verse 5, and her sister and Lazarus. And so the fact that Jesus loved them does not in any way play into this as far as his delay. His delay had nothing to do with the fact that he loved them. Bible makes it very clear, Jesus loved them. Jesus loved them. Amen. Anybody ever thought God was delaying for you? Amen. Boy, my hand's up right there. Amen. Something you've been praying about for a long time. Something you just know, God, I know you can. I know you can. But I'm not sure you will. Amen. It seems like he delays. Well, 2 days went by. It says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples, look at their response. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And so there was more at work here than just the fact of Jesus just kind of delaying a little bit and then trying to maybe now, okay, now let's go. See, there's timing here. Matter of fact, Jesus will go on and look at his response to his disciples. His disciples like, if we go back to Jerusalem, you do understand that this is a dangerous situation. How many believe Jesus probably knew that? Amen. That's one thing that we can read about in the New Testament scripture, especially in the Gospels, is that Jesus knew when his time had come. Amen. There when he was with his disciples in the upper room, when he laid aside his garments and began to wash their feet, the Bible says he knew his hour had come. And so this was all a matter of timing. And look what Jesus answered was when they said, you know, if we go back, it's a dangerous situation. They've sought late to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now, that seems like kind of a complicated phrase for us, but Jesus is just making it very clear that I've got 12 hours to work. I'm working in the day. I'm not going to cut it short. Amen? If there's a need, I'm going to meet the need. And it really kind of goes along with what Jesus has said in other places, particularly here in John. Look at John chapter 9, verse number 4. There it says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus says, I'm working the works while it is day. The night is coming. So he's not denying the fact that the night is coming, but he's making it very clear that he's going to work in the day. Look at 12 and 35 of John. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he go. While you have light, believe in the light that ye may be the children of light. And so the whole point was that Jesus, when he says these words, are there not 12 hours in the day? It really ties back to all those other verses and dealings with that of the day and the night. The night was approaching. Jesus instructed his disciples, work while you have the light. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. He's asleep. That was his next words. He's asleep. Well, you know, kind of surprised. None of them asked him, how'd you know that? Did you get a text, you know? Did Martha tweet it, or did she put it on Instagram? I mean, how, they didn't have all that. It wasn't that instant. I know we know now. We know when you wake up. We know things. I used to work with a guy. I remember when Jerry Falwell died there, and I think he had a massive heart attack, quickly died. And this guy, he knew. I told him, well, you knew before St. Peter knew. I mean, I don't know, it was a terrible joke, but he right there, he just had that information, right? Well, Jesus didn't have that. So how did Jesus know Lazarus was asleep? Because he was more than a man. That's really what, it comes down to the fact that he was more than a man. He was a man, but he was much more than a man. Amen. He was not just a good teacher. Amen. He was the Son of the living God. He was God incarnate. He was God made flesh and dwelt among us. And so he knew. He says, Lazarus is asleep. His disciples said, Lord, that's a good thing. Let's let him rest if he's asleep. Well, they didn't quite get it. So Jesus makes it very clear in verse 14. He says, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. For your sakes, that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Amen. Isn't that a strange statement to think about? Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes. There's one thing we want to make note of this morning, and it's that when we feel like God is delaying, or we feel like God isn't moving as quick as we think he should move, or it looks like that person that we've been praying about, or that situation we've been praying about in our life, is only getting worse and worse. There's other things at work that we don't see. Amen. There's cosmic things that we are not aware of. Amen. That we're living in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual world that, you know, people will deny that and say, well, no, it's just what we see. Aren't you thankful there's so much more than that? I mean, that we belong to a kingdom of God. You and I, as we sit here right now, are seated together in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Isn't that amazing? I appreciate what Brother Marion was sharing earlier, because it's just been a thought on my mind as well. And a lot of it may have stemmed from a book I've been reading that over the last couple of weeks. And it's the very fact that we are not of this world. In a sense that what? That even though, thankfully, we have enjoyed so many liberties and so many freedoms in this country, to where, you know, we don't really know what it means to be persecuted. We don't know what it means to suffer or to be outcast or to all these things. And for so many years, people have just joined themselves to the church, and they're just saying, well, I'm a Christian, or I'm, you know what? It's going to cost us something to say that, especially to stand up for truth and to stand up for what's right. Amen. But you know what we want to do? We want to stand up for what truth, and we want to stand up for what's right. regardless of what everybody else does, whatever, where everybody else goes, not in arrogance or not even in anger. God, help us not to fight. Lord, let us demonstrate the love of God. And let us demonstrate the power of the resurrection. Amen. The strength of God. Unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Or is the strength of the Lord revealed? And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. When Isaiah prophesies that and says, of whom is the arm or the strength of the Lord revealed? He goes from there and starts talking about Christ coming as a child. And then all the way up to the cross. And so God revealed his strength in the fact that he gave his only begotten son. Even that whosoever believeth in him should not be lost, should not die. I appreciate what I heard someone said here a while ago about why we wouldn't, the whole world wouldn't want to serve God. And of course, you know, we ask ourselves that question because we've enjoyed the goodness of the Lord. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And we want the world to taste. Amen. And we want to be the light of the world. And so Jesus says he's dead. He makes it very clear. He's not asleep. He's dead. And then Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. That we may die with him. This could go back to the other verse there when the disciples said, you know, there's trouble up there if we go. And there's others that say, well, what Thomas was talking about was that we're going to go mourn with them. I probably lean toward the first. Just because it is very clear that his disciples saw that there was danger ahead as they went back across Jordan. But Jesus does that. He leaves. They travel the day's journey. He delays 2 days. He travels the day's journey. And he's headed back to Bethany, where Martha and Mary are after they have buried their brother. And he's been dead for 4 days. And so here we find Martha. They're in the house. All the mourners have gathered together. There could have been so many. It seems like there were many that of the Jews that came from the town that came to mourn with them, which really might be an indicator of the fact that they had some pull or they were very well known in the area, that all these Jews would come out of the city and mourn with them. And so we find him there, and it is about the fourth day. He's been dead now for 4 days. But yet even then, Martha and Mary both are still looking for Jesus and still expecting him. Maybe even they've set a watch. And so while Jesus, before he ever got to Bethany, before he ever gets to where they're at, word comes back to Martha, he's coming. And what does she do? She jumps up. She doesn't even get Mary. And just runs out to Jesus. Now, I'm not sure about these words with Martha. It does seem like that, you know, we could put kind of a certain characteristic on Martha, because it doesn't seem like, even though we don't know a lot about her, it doesn't seem like she was slow to speak her mind. And it seems like she liked to get things done. You remember how that when Jesus is there with them in their own house, and Mary and Martha are there and they're eating, or they're Jesus is teaching. Martha is at Jesus' feet, or Mary is listening to his words. She's there intent. And Bible says that Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And so she got kind of aggravated. I guess there's really no other way to put it. And she goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I'm working pretty hard here. Don't you care that my sister Mary is just sitting there not helping? And so what was Jesus' response? Martha, you're careful about many things. Mary has chosen that good part that shall never be taken away. Amen. And so then we all say, I want to be a Mary. Amen. I want to be a Mary. Because we want to be at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. Amen. While they had the light, to walk in the light. And so, you know, these words that Martha says as she comes running to Jesus, first words, Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I know this. I know. I've seen you heal the sick. I've seen you open the blinded eyes. I've seen you open deaf ears. So I know without a doubt that if you'd have been here, Lazarus would still be alive. Mary had the same response when she later on in this story, she's going to come running to Jesus. And she's going to say the same thing. So apparently they've been talking about this, right? It ain't like us to talk about things, is it? Amen? That's what we do on Sunday table. We sit around, eat, and then we sit around, talk, and we solve all the world's problems because that's what we do. Amen? I was Michelle the other day, mom was visiting, and I went to bed early because I had to preach the next morning. And so I was in bed, and then I found out they stayed up to 2 o'clock. I said, what were y'all doing to 2 o'clock? That we were solving the world's problems. Like, well, did you get them solved? No. But it feels good to talk about them. So I just see Mary and Martha. They're sitting around and they're mourning. They're upset. Lazarus is dead. He's gone. And both of them kind of, you know, Mary, if Jesus had been here, he'd have healed Lazarus. I know Martha. I've seen him. I know he would have done it. Why'd he delay? But listen to the words she says. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Even now, whatever you ask, Jesus, I know that God will give it to you. Amen. Why? Because I know that there's nothing too hard for God. And of course, Jesus, honoring Martha's faith, looks at her and says, Martha, you're exactly right. Lazarus will live again. But I don't think she got it because her response seems a little more out there somewhere. Yeah, Lord, I know. I know he's going to live again in the resurrection. I know there's coming a day. I believe that, don't you? I know there's coming a day when the resurrection and Lazarus will raise again from the dead. Now, my brother that we put there in that tomb, he's going to come out of that tomb in the last day. Out there. But Jesus says what? Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Listen to this confession of faith that Martha gives to Jesus. I think it's just wonderful. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. What a confession. I believe you, Lord. Amen. But even now, Lord, at that word, Jesus asked, where have you laid him? They take him to the tomb, there where Lazarus was. And that stone that hadn't been long put into place, Jesus tells him, says, take away the stone. Martha, being a realist, says, now she's going to get real. Lord, he stinketh. This is her brother she's talking about. Honor the dead, my word. And this is the Middle East, God. It gets hot here. He's been in the grave for 4 days. This is not a great idea for you to have us roll away the stone. And it's the same woman just said, even now. They rolled away the stone. Jesus had said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Father, I know. It's good to know, isn't it? Amen. Do we know God hears our prayer this morning? Amen. Are there some things in our life that we just know? I ain't talking about what you think. I'm talking about what you know. Amen. What you think isn't going to get us through, is it? I mean, I think a lot of things. But there's some things that I know. Amen. It was Job that said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. He said, I know without a doubt. This was when his friends had come to him. He was going through all kinds of trouble, all kinds of heartache. He lost his family, his health. Everything was gone from him. And even his wife had told him to curse God and die. But Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that I shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. And he shall stand. Job knew. I love the way Luke, I know I go here a lot, but I love the way Luke starts his letter, his gospel, when he's there, just in his introduction in Luke 1 and 1. I love this because he says this, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of these things which are most surely believed among us. Amen. Let me tell you, in our day, there better be some things that are most surely believed among us. Amen. Are there some things in your life that you know, according to Scripture, that are most surely believed, without a doubt? Amen. That's why we feed ourselves truth, isn't it? Amen. Feed ourselves truth. Don't feed yourself lies. Young people, listen to me. Don't listen. If you start reading something, if it's a lie, put it down. Amen. Don't even put that into your mind. You say, well, I need to know. No, you don't. You need to know what the truth is. Amen. If we know the truth of God, when we hear a lie, we'll know it. Amen. We'll know the truth. And it's the truth that shall make us free. We don't have to study lies and unbeliefs, but we want to study those things. Faith cometh by hearing, the Scripture says, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, he stinketh, she said. Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me. Verse 43 says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. Y'all know what happened. Think about it. I've thought, try to put a picture of the tomb up there. Just picture that in your mind. There, he's wrapped up like a mummy, laying. Didn't say somebody going to get him up, did he? Nope, he's laying there. Lazarus, come forth. Maybe sitting on the edge of that rock or however they had him. Here he comes. Oh, that too. Can't even walk. I mean, you know, he's still bound up. How do we know that? Because Jesus has said, loose him and let him go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Here comes Lazarus out of the tomb. There's no music. This ain't a movie. This is a real thing. This is real life here. This happened. This is not a fairy tale. We've got a dead guy that's been dead for 4 days and stinks right up to the time. He stinks. There's no doubt. He stinks. Right up to the time when Jesus said, come forth. Amen. It ain't like God was going to preserve him over here. I got to raise him from the dead, so we're not going to allow that stink to hit him. We're going to preserve him from the stink. No, he stunk. They probably had to step back a little bit. But when he heard the words and Jesus said, come forth, here he come out. Out of that tomb. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Amen. And what happened? Amen. There's Lazarus, Martha, Mary. That God said, the same Martha that said, Lord, if you'd been here, you hadn't died. But there's really no hope now. It's pretty much over with. It's done. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the life, even now. Amen. I'm going to leave you with that this morning, with that very thought, the fact that even now, And we've got to somehow this year, in our seventh year, as we go into our seventh year, amen, believe God and move from that I know he can to that I know he will. Amen. I know that he will move for my children. Amen. I know God's going to move in this situation. I've been praying for this loved one for a long time, and I know he's going to move. Even now, I know he's able. Say, well, the situation's getting worse. Yes, but even now. Even now, It seems like they're getting colder. They're falling farther and farther away. But even now, I know God hears your prayer. Amen. I'm convinced of that. I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. There's some things that we know. Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for the good of them that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. Amen. Do we know that? Amen. He doesn't call all things good. He's not doing that. There's some bad things out there, right? There's some bad things that come into our life. There's some things that we don't call evil good ever. The Bible tells us not to do that. But it says it works together. And now we don't always see that working together. Mary and Martha couldn't see the fact that the disciples of Jesus needed to see this miracle. They didn't know that. They didn't know that their faith needed to increase. How many times have you prayed that prayer? I believe. You remember the story of the man with his son came, brought him to Jesus and says, here my son, he's dumb from his youth. This evil spirit's upon him, and it's tried to kill him, it's tried to burn him, it's tried to drown him. And I need you to heal him, Lord. Jesus says, all things are possible for them that believe. So I believe he can be healed. And the man cried. I can feel it. I've had it in my own spirit. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Amen. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Anybody else prayed that in here before? I have. Because I know I believe God. I know that God is able to save and to heal. I know that. But there's always that part of me, God, I'm not sure. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And so we want to move from the, I know he can, to the, I know he will. God, I know that you're going to move in this situation. It may not be exactly like we think. It may not be exactly the way we would have done it. But God's ways are above our ways. Amen? And even though, you know, Mary and Martha couldn't see, the fact when it was all said and done, there was a great miracle that took place that day that was even beyond what would have happened if he'd have come and healed him when he was sick. He says, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad that I wasn't there. Amen. Why? Because your faith needs to increase. Man, when we can't track God, we've got to trust God, don't we? Amen. When we don't see, we can't tell the way he's going, we still got to trust him. Why? Because he's a good God. He's a faithful God, and we're his servants. We're his children. Amen. And we can believe him. Amen. Believe him to move. Believe him to strengthen. Amen. Believe the fact that he said, if you will draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. He promised that. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, God, for your promise. God, we're thankful, Lord, for this great miracle that we've shared here together this morning. Your friend Lazarus that was risen from the dead. What an amazing work, God, that was accomplished there that day. Lord, we believe it. We know it's true. God, we know that you did it. Lord, we know that the words were spoken, come forth, and Lazarus came out of that grave, and the words were declared, loose him and let him go. God, we know that was true. Lord, we believe that you have all power in heaven and earth. And Father, we pray, Lord God, that our faith would increase, that we would move from the he can to he will. Father, we know that you're able. We believe. Help our own unbelief. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Amen. If you need prayer, we would love to pray with you. If you want to pray, this altar's open. Amen. We can pray together. Let's just take a few minutes and just worship the Lord and just ask God, Father, increase my faith. I believe, Lord. Help thou my unbelief. I trust you, God. God, help me to trust you completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.